Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Time now for Dan Issel and Louis Ribeau, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
Good Friday, everybody. This is Issel and Louis, ESPN 680, 105.7, and the ESPN Louisville app, however you're listening this morning. Thanks for joining us. And, of course, the first hour of the show is brought to you by KentuckyTourism.com. Louis, I hope you didn't have Arizona in your Final Four, buddy.
I did not. How are you, Dan?
I'm terrific.
I picked them last year to win the title, and now I think they're bums. And then yesterday they played like bums. So there you go. It worked out for me.
Yeah, I was listening to the Arizona Fish and Wildlife postgame show yesterday, which is interesting because the only wildlife in Arizona is antelope and rattlesnakes.
And cactus.
Yeah. But it seems that most of the Wildcat fans there now want Coach Lloyd to take the Texas job.
Was that Jason Striedel and James Entz on that one?
Exactly.
There you go. Yeah.
Exactly.
Man. So the weirdest thing just happened on the previous show. And the texters are texting in about it, and I want to address it. 437-9680 is our UPS jobs text line. So Blankenbaker has been very vocal in criticism of the past basketball season and the job that he perceives that the coaches didn't do a very good one of. He then just said, hey, this Trenton Flowers kid is going to make an announcement, and he's going to be a reclass. And he said, I want everyone to pump the brakes on him because he's going to be a reclass. And you and I have talked about this. Very hard for players.
Bad idea.
By and large, to reclass and be good players.
Bad idea.
There's a list of a few players, and all of them are exceptional that reclassed and were very good. This is a chance for Blank to be like, look, he's five-star. I don't care if he's reclassing. He should, you know, if these are the player development coaches that I've been sold, then they should be. They should be able to take Trenton Flowers in, who just turned 18, by the way. They should be able to take Trenton Flowers in this year and make him a serviceable point guard in the ACC. And I'm stunned that he's going the other way. Stunned.
Well, I hate to be in a position to even talk about anything Blankenbaker says. The thing that I found very interesting, Louis, is on the second day of the NCAA tournament, the Courier Journal chose to write a story about Coach Brohm and the football team. Well, hey, look over here. Look at this shiny object. Look over here. Don't pay any attention to what's going on here. Who knows what Blank's thinking? Who knows?
Worst loss, Arizona or Virginia?
Well, that depends on the context of worse loss. I will say this, that in the end of the Virginia game,
and
I don't have a dog in this fight because in my bracket, I picked Virginia to win this game, but I picked them to lose to San Diego State in the next round.
So I'm
not coming from this, you know, from a bias on my bracket. Because I think I said on this show the other day, when I saw Virginia play Duke in the finals of the ACC tournament, Virginia was terrible. Mm. They scored 17 points. Now, I know you know, that they like to control the tempo. I know they like to take it to the end of the shot clock. But regardless, 17 points and a half of college basketball is a joke. and I texted you yesterday at the end of that game. That was one of the dumbest plays I've ever seen.
Yes,
and I hate to come down on the kid, you know, because he's a college kid and it's a huge stage. But Clark's been the point guard at Virginia since about the time I retired from the NBA. and he's, first of all, he gets the ball in the corner. Now, a veteran point guard has to know that is the worst place that you catch an inbounds pass, because you know they're going to trap, and you have the lead. It's not like you have to score. You have the lead. And he had a timeout. And he just throws the ball up in the air. And, of course, Furman catches it because there's not a Virginia guy within 20 feet of wherever he was throwing the ball. Mm-hmm. And they're smart enough. You know, I talk about basketball IQ all the time, Louie. And it has nothing to do with intelligence. I'm sure this is a bright kid. Basketball IQ has to deal with knowing how to play the game of basketball. And that was one of the worst plays I've ever seen. So in that context, I would say that the Virginia loss was more than Arizona, because you know I don't think much of the Pac-12 anyway. So I'll go with Virginia.
You know, what's interesting especially about that is the Pegues three to follow that up was as clutch as that play was dumb.
Oh, no question.
Like, he just drilled that shot. You talk about basketball IQ.
First of all, the kid that makes the interception,
yep,
he had several people open. There was another teammate that was wide open at the top of the key. And this kid knew exactly, first of all, he knew he had no timeouts. And second of all, he knew where to go with the basketball to get the winning shot.
Yep.
Now that's basketball IQ there.
Yeah. Some texts are pointing out Clemson lost at home to Moorhead after leading by 15 this past week, too. The ACC not doing so great outside of Duke. Duke looks good.
Yeah.
Was that 15-0 to start that game?
Something like that.
Yeah, we had that on in the background when we were doing the podcast last night. But he coming down on the text line, personal bat phone. Friend thinks that Texas A&M is actually the worst loss yesterday, losing to Penn State. How about that Big Ten? A little 3-2 yesterday, Dan.
Yeah, the Big Ten did much better than I thought they were going
this
to
This is
do.
What they're going to do, by the way. They're going to win like 5 first round games.
All three Big Ten teams that won yesterday lose the next game.
I agree with that. Yeah,
don't get too. But
maybe one pulls off an upset in something, but it's very unlikely.
Yeah,
I'm with you. By the way, the committee got Texas A&M correct.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going.
The committee got Texas A&M correct.
Because we looked at that when it came out. They were a 7 seed.
Oh, yep, we looked at that when it came out. We were like, ooh, they seem a little low there. But no, they got them right.
Yeah, we went out for an early dinner with our best friends here in Denver. So I missed some of that in that time frame. It's the grandparents of Morgan, who I took to the Kansas game. And just as an aside, Bill he played basketball and baseball at St. John's. He told me last night he's here and it's a done deal, Patino to St. John's.
Rumors around here are like 95%.
Yeah. That's what Bill told me last night. But anyway, I missed some of that. But I was really disappointed in Texas A&M. I mean, they did nothing.
Mm. Yeah,
no, they did nothing.
It's at Penn State, that's a way to get like a 30-year extension too. Win one game.
Well, you know, I've also heard, and I'm gagging for the guy's name. I've heard he's a hot item out there on the coaching carousel right now.
The Penn State head coach?
Yeah.
That's a Micah Shrewsbury, right?
Yeah.
By the way, I have a computer. How about that?
Oh, I thought you were gonna. I thought you told me yesterday I was gonna have to be in the shop for a while.
It is in the shop, but you, here's what.
Oh, you got a good one.
No. I downgraded. So, I'm going like through our pile of technology at our house because I think if you anyone with kids out there knows exactly what I'm talking about. I just have a pile of technology, and I remembered that I had bought like $90 Chromebooks for my kids during COVID so they could go to school. And we just stopped using them because our kids are back in school and they have computers at school or whatever, right? And so I found one like in the corner. It's got like, I don't know, it's some kind of like peanut butter dust or something on it. And, you know, it's just, I got little kid stuff all over it. But it works. And I was able to figure out my Google logins and you got a show sheet. So how about that?
Yeah, I did.
Dan is always gagging for names coming down on the text line. It's true.
That's because I'm 74.
Texture disagrees with you and says...
I gag for my own occasionally.
Texture disagrees and says Northwestern and Penn State are both good teams. Okay.
Wait a second. Wait a second, Texture. If you think Northwestern's a good team, you don't know jack about basketball. Come on now. Northwestern's a good team.
Dan, do you have any thoughts about NKU's game last night?
I thought they were terrific. I think they can hold their head high. I know Houston was without their best player for the second half, but those kids played hard. They played smart, and unlike a lot of the 1-16 games, that game was competitive. I don't know if I've said this before. I love a kid on this team, and he reminds me of Ryan Bowen, a kid that I drafted.
Yeah.
Out of Iowa, this Sam Vinson, that kid, he plays hard, he plays smart. He's only a sophomore. If somebody's smart, they get to him and they talk him into getting in the transfer portal. There's a kid that would fit great at U of L.
Texter pointing out that Micah Shrewsbury is from Jeff in Indiana. Moved to Indianapolis for high school. His family still lives in Jeff. How about that? I didn't know he's a local guy. That's great.
He's doing a terrific job wherever he's from.
Louie, when you go through the technology at your house, does that include Mitch Hannigan's dinosaur Wii console? Maybe it does. Yeah, we still use that thing. Texter, the important question is, did Prime make you breakfast yesterday after the show? Man, that's a A1 listener right there.
Yeah, Prime's not in a very good mood. Prime had Virginia in the Elite Eight, and she had Arizona winning the whole thing.
Oh, no, so no, Prime, Barry, no.
Prime, about late afternoon yesterday, Prime threw her bracket in the trash. It's
that's
out
brutal,
on the street.
Man.
It's out on the street as we talk. So.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah. No, I had to make my own breakfast.
Honestly, after the first weekend, or excuse me, the first 2 days, my only hope is that my Final Four is intact. That's the only hope I have, right? Mm. That's all I ever hope for. Is that I have a chance to go further in the tournament.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, mine's the only team that got beat yesterday that I had going past the next round was Arizona. So
you said really good then.
Yeah, no, I'm in good shape.
Okay,
I'm in good shape.
You know what? I didn't actually see the final score. Did Missouri end up winning their game?
Yes.
Okay. They beat
handily.
Okay, good.
You know who didn't win handily?
Hang on. Tennessee.
There you go. They
old married couple.
Louisiana came up with a game plan that you can beat Tennessee with, and that is take Vescovy out of the game. And if you take him out of the game, they have a really hard time scoring. And the problem was Louisiana couldn't score either. But, that was – what was that, a 4-13 that was a three-point game?
Oh, three or four. 3 or 4. 60, yeah, 63, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was three.
Yeah.
But I don't have Tennessee going much further either. So. Okay.
All right, I wanted to point out, because I just got an email from the fabulous Phil Baker, who does sales around here and different things. He was the one who put together the prize pack, largely did the work on the prize pack for the bracket challenge. And I wanted to thank our listeners out there. We had 4,252 brackets entered just at ESPNLouisville.com. So thank you very much for getting in on that. So this year, frankly, I made fun of how many prizes we have. Well, thank goodness we do, because you know, they'll still have to finish in the, like, the top 2 or 3% of our group. And so it'll be – I just appreciate people doing that. It's,
yeah,
it's fun to –
that's terrific.
I really appreciate all the community stuff we get to do around here. You know, I love the text line and all that kind of stuff. So just pleased that everyone was able to do that. I guess Tennessee –
And speaking of Phil Baker – you know what Phil's going to show up with in a little bit?
Mustard.
Yeah, thanks to thanks to George and the Bear Nose team for bringing lunch by. Actually, George and the Bear Nose team don't bring it by. They provide it, but fabulous Phil Baker brings it by. Bear Nose has you covered. You know, you want to stay close to that television this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Get it delivered.
They've got you covered for lunch or dinner. There are 14 area locations in Metro Louisville and Southern Indiana. Carry out, dine in, or delivery. Yeah, it's that good. Bear Nose Pizza.
Someone in North Carolina tried to log into my Twitter account last night. I don't know why anyone would want my Twitter account. It's very bizarre. I'll get it then.
So did you deny them, or what? What
happened? No, Twitter did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No.
I've got like 600 followers, like nothing. If IU can get past this weekend, I feel pretty confident against Houston for the Hoosiers' chances on coming down on the text line. It's interesting because especially, and I have that on the show sheet, you know, if Sassard can't play, they're a very different team.
Yeah.
And that's not a, by the way, that is not a knock on Houston. You need a great player to win a title. You need a first-round draft pick to win a title, right? That's just how it goes. And so for them, that's their guy. And, you know, I have this – the other. I think the other major headline is that Brandon Miller didn't score yesterday.
No.
And I – do you
– Nada.
And I asked the question on the show, is the whole thing getting to Brandon Miller at this point?
No.
And I don't think it is either. Yeah.
No. What got to Miller was evidently he strained a groin or something, a hamstring or something, in the SEC championship game, and he only played 19 minutes. I'm surprised they played him at all if that was the situation. No, but I don't think I don't think the off court stuff, because that's a kid that the day after it came out, Louie, he went to South Carolina, and those kids were brutal. They were yelling, lock him up and guilty and all kinds of stuff. And I think he had 40 points. So I don't think that off-the-court stuff is bothering him at all. I think yesterday was just more a case of not being physically ready to play.
Oh. Texter pointing out that because of the changes at Twitter, you now need Twitter Blue to use two-step authentication. There are going to be hackers everywhere looking for non-checkmark people. Well, great, because I don't care about Twitter enough to actually I don't care about my presence on Twitter enough to pay for it. So that's the thing. Did you wear a Kansas shirt yesterday, Dan?
I have a Kansas shirt on right now.
How'd you think they looked?
Good. I was a little concerned that Bill wasn't there. I thought he was you know, on the road to recovery. It'll surprise me if he's not on the sidelines tomorrow. But no, I thought they looked terrific. But you know, they weren't playing anybody, so
okay.
It's hard to say. But no, I thought there were some teams that were really impressive. You know, you asked me about Northern Kentucky a little while ago.
Yeah.
The only thing that kept them from really taking that game to the very end was their lack of size. Because Houston, at times it looked like men playing against boys. Houston got all kinds of offensive rebounds and second chance points. If they'd had a big guy or two to battle against Houston, that game would have gone right to the wire.
All right. And a reminder, we are your home for the NCAA tournament. The coverage continues today, and I love how we do this. We are essentially your pregame for the Michigan State game, believe it or not, for Michigan State and USC at noon. That'll be here on 680, 105.7, and on 93.9. And then our drive time shows will bring you back in at 3 o'clock, the take and the drive on the two sticks from 6 on. Then we'll have NCAA coverage here on 680 and then on 93.9, they'll have Cardinal Insider from 6 to 7. So if you are wondering who the backup left tackle is at this point in the season, go ahead and listen to Cardinal Insider. Or you could be a sane person and listen to 680 and the rest of the basketball games today.
So or buy a Courier Journal today and read the article about U of L football.
And we will, of course, talk about Kentucky and Indiana's games today. After Kentucky's game, we will have the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife postgame show. A little more than just cactus here in the state of Kentucky to look at, including elk tags. How about that? Jason Hitz, James Strebel, and our guy Mike Gandolfo tonight around 11:15, 11:30, something like that, here on ESPN 680-1057. As soon as the game is over, they'll take you straight to the postgame show. That's the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife postgame show.
Hey, Louis, can I ask a question?
Nope.
On our coverage of the games, is it – because yesterday I had to go out – you know, I told you the day before I had to take Sheridan car.
Right.
Well, you know, yesterday I had to take her, pick her up and take her back to get her car.
Is she one of these people that's bougie and has to drop her car off for the whole day just for an oil change?
No, this was Addison's car.
Okay.
It was like $3,500.
Oh.
It needed brakes, brake pads,
spark plugs, belts,
the whole thing. But you know, she's only 52 years old, so she has to call dad to but I was listening to the ESPN station here in Denver.
Got it.
And it's great coverage because they go to the games that are really important. Do we have that same coverage in Louisville, or is it just the game?
We have the Westwood one, and they do the bounce around. That's right.
Yeah, that's great.
It is great.
Yeah, if you're out in your car, that's what you have to tune into that, because they go to the games that, you know, are games that are competitive.
Yep.
It's great coverage.
It is, and the play-by-play is very good as well, actually. So it's nice to have both what you pointed out in the sort of the red zone sort of nature of it, bouncing game to game when it matters, but also the guys on the calls are really good too. So no, it was nice. I had to go drop my computer off yesterday and then go to someone else's office to use their computer to do something for Green Sheet and then, you know, send that in. And then, oh, it was a day, Dan. Anyway, so did that. But while I was driving, I was able to listen to the
games. You have too many jobs.
I like the gambling one, though. It's fun. And
the horse gambling.
Yeah, it pays bills. Yeah, it's nice. Did you see Texture pointing out that Travis Perry did get the all-time scoring record?
Yes. I had that. I have that on my notes to get to later.
Okay. We'll get to that later. I think it's a huge story, actually, in this state. Yes.
It's great. It's a great story.
The only comment I ever make about that is I am not from here. I am not a, hey, ask me where I went to high school guy. If you want that, you can do that on the UK postgame show tonight. I'm not one of those guys. Even I know the name King Coleman. I mean, that's you know, that's how legendary that guy is in the state.
Absolutely.
So for Travis Perry to have that record, congrats to him, by the way. I think he's just a scorer, so it's not like he, you know, I don't know how he would cheat his way into it, but he's just a Texter, his buddy got an elk tag, and he's super pumped. I bet he is, man. Have you had elk, Dan?
Yes.
It's really good.
Yes. There is a huge elk herd that is getting squeezed out. We drove by them last night.
Oh, no.
Between Castle Rock and in Denver.
Are they like semi-domesticated or what?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, they're wild.
Okay.
And we drove by last night after dinner. We drove by this herd, and Louie, there's got to be 200 of them.
Cool.
And they're getting squeezed because of all of the development and the subdivisions. They're getting squeezed into a smaller and smaller area all the time. Mm. But they are handsome animals. It's really cool to see it.
So that's your fault, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. By the way, Thumbs is not here. She hasn't been here the entire segment.
Well, she told me, well, James came on first and said he hadn't seen her. And then she came on and said she was the only one here and really busy. So
here's how I know Avery and I are not in the same generation. Okay? So Avery today, this morning, had Starbucks delivered to the station. Just a drink. Dan, I bet that cost $12.
For a cup of coffee.
Yeah, some like smoothie thing that she gets. Mm-hmm. I can't. This is where I know that I'm an old man, because I was like, why didn't you text me and have me get you a latte?
Right. Bring one in on the way.
We have a partnership with Red Hot Roll. Okay, she's back, and I'm going to grill her. You're in trouble. You're done, Avery Dill. You're done. You understand me? You're done. Plug in. We need to talk. Thumbs. There's a thing going on. Mike Woodson on the trail of Travis Perry to IU. He looks like IU. That'd be great. I'm talking, Avery, about how you and I are from different generations, and the way I know is because you had a drink delivered today.
I did have a drink delivered today. It has been a morning.
I would never do that. So is Nick Valvano at Topgolf?
He is at Topgolf.
Why does Nick get nice things at all? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, we have a ton of shows that are being held over at Topgolf today, so right. Feel free, go say hey.
I think that's a good point by you. If you haven't been to Topgolf yet, go over there, bother the guys they're on right now, listen to us in the car on the way over there, and then go bother them, give them an L's down, and then enter the giveaways, and then come back and listen to us again. But Mark, Ennis will be out there, right? 3 to 6, is that right, as well?
Yes, Ennis will be there 3 to 6. Mabin and Rummage are out there right now. And Nick will be there for a while.
So they're giving away $100 an hour.
Oh, yeah.
In gift cards. And they're giving away a 3-month membership as well. So, I mean, cool stuff. So if you're interested in Topgolf at all. Dan, have you been to Topgolf?
You can buy memberships to Topgolf?
You can buy memberships to Topgolf.
Wow.
How about that? Have you been to Topgolf?
I have not.
Oh. Yeah, but you don't like golf because you're 7'8", right?
Right. Right. And it's hard for me to turn all that way around anymore.
The guy whose friend got an elk tag is asking you, Dan, why do we call Avery Thumbs?
Oh, well, that's easy. Because to produce a radio show, you have to be able to hit the knobs. And she's trying to do it with her thumbs, and they're too big, and she hits a couple of knobs at the same time.
There it is. All right.
Although I have to give her credit, I see 9 sound bites on the show sheet today.
Yes, and I actually have them because shout out to Nick for emailing them and not putting them in places that they're going to.
Oh, so it was Nick's fault?
No.
Who cut the originals?
Avery Patino here. Is saying that Nick actually did a good job by emailing them rather than putting them in the system.
I don't know who did the original ones, but those ones vanished in the thin air.
Texter, Thumbs is in the back hiding a body. Texter, Thumbs, in addition to all that, she does sound young. It's because she is young.
She is young.
There you go. We will do Cal Sound today. Dan and I will talk about the Whitmore and the Essex at Oaklawn. Did you get all those?
Yes,
okay,
thank
great.
You.
Yeah. Yep. And then so if people don't know, I'm on a horse racing podcast called the Horse Racing Happy Hour every Thursday night. And we are now doing, because I am, this is a very Louis thing. I'm every state group has its own derby. And so for Maryland, it's called the Preakness. And so you've heard of the Preakness. For the Belmont, it's called the Belmont, you know. And here it happens to be the Kentucky Derby. Now, because of the nature of the Kentucky Derby, you know, the preps are all over the world, frankly, right? But in Maryland, they run a race once a month to get the horses ready to run in the Preakness. Their final prep, Dan, do you know what it's called, actually? It's named after a person, if that helps
the
you.
The private something.
That's this weekend. Good for you. The private terms is this weekend.
Okay.
But that's a prep for what's called the Federico Tessio.
Yeah.
I always tell, once a year, I get to go on and say the line, the Tessio is a great predictor for who won't win the Preakness. And so, but we're covering the Maryland Road to the Preakness with our friends at the Maryland Breeders Association and all that. Dan Aylman comes on from DRF every month, who covers Mid-Atlantic horse racing for the DRF. And so we're doing those shows. So if you're interested in not just the Derby Trail this year, but also the Preakness Trail, it's a cool opportunity to check those out. We do those shows once a month.
They also have a race on Preakness Day. For only 3-year-olds, not the Preakness, but it's another stakes.
Yeah, and now is it called like the Pimlico or something?
No, that's the Pimlico Special. I don't know what it's called.
I'll tell you what, man. They do a great job of setting up their path to their Derby and to their Oaks, the Black Eyed Susan, by they have the boys running 2 turns for the first time this Saturday. Last race was 1 mile, 1 turn. Before that was 7 furlongs. The girls are going 1 mile, 1 turn.
Mile,
and then next month they'll do mile and a 16th in the Weaver City Miss is what it's called. And I love how they set it up. But, man, have they – the Pimlico Special, dude, that used to be a big boy race.
Huge.
And they have really downgraded that. And I don't know if that's just a product of just finances or whatever, but that used to be an unbelievably important race. So, oh, well. You're not coming to Pimlico, right?
No.
Okay. All right. Even if I pay for it?
For the airline?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you pay for my airline trip, I'll be there in a heartbeat.
Oh, the show can do that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Great. Yeah. Okay. Count me in.
All right, we'll work on it.
Hey, when you're ready to explore the outdoors, there's no better place than the Bluegrass State. Hike, bike, paddle, fish, or even venture deep underground. This is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com.
This segment with Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau is presented by KentuckyTourism.com.
That's right. Check out KentuckyTourism.com before you plan any of your summer plans here. There's a very cool section on camping that's up right now, something that I will never do. But I might visit a retirement horse farm with my kids. That's also available on the website. Or attend a concert, also up on the website. Again, follow them on Instagram at KYTourism. Very, very cool. Nature shots, shots of the different spots around the state that you can visit, all of that at KentuckyTourism.com. Very, very grateful for the a partnership with them. And so there you go. I was just talking with Ken in the hallway, sales manager extraordinaire, about the fact that my sweatshirt has a dual purpose today. Avery, what is the dual purpose of my sweatshirt?
Michigan State plays today.
Correct, and?
Oh, look at me!
And? It's green, so I look like I give a damn about St. Patrick's Day, which
I kind of do. Oh, we forgot about St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. You see, at least I got the sports
right. Remember, Dan, this is a dispensation Friday from the Archbishop, so I get
so you can eat a cheeseburger?
You're damn right I'm having a cheeseburger.
Attaboy. Attaboy.
So instead of a fish fry tonight, we're having meat tacos, and I'm making corned beef and cabbage, so there you go.
Hey, I saw the other day where the Pope is thinking about doing away with this celibacy thing. You think there are going to be some upset old men for when that happens?
All of the priests that I know, so I know a lot of guys who are Catholic priests or Episcopal priests or are Orthodox priests, and the guys with the most hair and the least amount of wrinkles on their face don't have wives.
Oh, a sexist would say.
No, a man with evidence would say. And I'm looking at myself.
Hey, that's a little bigger deal than not having to eat fish on Friday.
I will tell you, so when my wife had to have a surgery in the fall, our pastor priest from our parish said, hey, I will come by the morning of the surgery, hang out with you in the waiting room, you know, whatever else. It's very kind. And it turned out that his father had been placed in hospice at the same hospital and passed away about 7 hours before my wife's surgery.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay? I got a text from him at like 4 a.m. Hey, I'm very sorry. My dad died. I can't make it today. And I thought, what a thoughtful freaking thing to think about anyone else at that moment, number one. But number two, just how thoughtful and nice that was. And then I'm sitting there during the surgery, and another of the diocese, another priest of the diocese just walks in and sits down with me. Like he had gone out of his way to find another guy to come sit with me.
Find another guy.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, if they're married and they have a bunch of kids, I don't think they can do that kind of stuff. And I think that's what the value is in their position.
Great point.
Is that they can drop what they're doing and just go do that. I can't do that. I can't just say, hey, Dan, I'm not showing up today. My buddy's got surgery. No. I got to sit down and I got to do the show. And that's, you know, that's what I've signed up for. That's my life. It's great. It's my vocation is this, right? And so those guys are able to do those things because of how they've set up that job. And I think there's an incredible value in that. I understand it's a huge sacrifice. But, Dan, you play professional basketball. You didn't go out. I mean, you've talked about it. You stayed away from the drug use in the 70s. You didn't, you know, you drink Budweiser because I imagine part of it is preference, but it also stops you from getting intoxicated and hurting yourself or whatever it might be, right? Or making a bad decision, whatever it might be, because, you know, you were focused on that as your vocation. And so I think for some of those guys, it's really an important thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, good point. Good point.
But no, it was one of those moments because it was, you know, I had a pretty bad fall. And autumn, I should say, not a fall. I didn't actually fall down. I had an autumn, bad autumn going into winter. And that just that day really, really kind of reminded me that there are people looking out for
back
you.
On track. Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
So, exactly.
Yep. So there you go. But yeah, I'm
Speaking
having a cheeseburger.
Of getting
brother.
Back on track, how do you think? How much pressure is on this Kentucky team to win this game tonight, Louis?
Here's the thing about this Kentucky team that you and I have talked about a lot, because I don't want to sound callous, but every time we think they quote unquote have to win a game, it doesn't seem like that's when they show up. It's when we don't expect them to show up that they do. And that kind of is what worries me, because I don't think I know a person that doesn't think they're winning today.
Hmm.
Usually it's like, oh, they're going to Arkansas, they have no shot, boom, they win with no point guard, right?
Yeah.
They're going to Tennessee, they got no shot, boom, they dominate the game, right? Those are the games that they got Georgia at home, or they got South Carolina at home, oh, okay. I probably don't have to watch that one. They lose. And so I worry that there isn't enough, and this is why I think, and we'll get to Calipari sound here, that you can actually play, I've heard, is...
Use the forefinger thumbs.
So let's go to three here, and I think he's doing this on purpose.
I kind of told the guys I like
he's
this.
He's trying to get the underdog mentality, because he knows this team needs to think that way because they play their best when they're in that spot.
I kind of told the guys I like this. This is kind of like my UMass and Memphis days. Ah, they didn't play. They're not. All right, we'll see where we are. We'll see. But this, I'm liking the group. I wish we were fully healthy, but we'll have to see what happens Friday, who can play.
Yeah, so I think that's part of what this is. He knows this about this team, is they're not front runners, right? They are, what's that? We can't win at Tennessee, go win. What's that? 2 weeks of being told we can't win at Arkansas, they go win that game. And I think he knows that about this team. And what he's talking about in that clip, by the way, and it's a larger discussion, is that they're a sixth seed, right? Not a typical, you know, what we think of as a normal Kentucky seed line, one, two, three, that kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
So being at six is makes them, quote unquote, an underdog. But really, I think he's trying to get in their heads and say, you know, we're hurt. We're not at full strength. You know when we weren't at full strength? Arkansas. Right, that kind of stuff. I think he's trying to get into their heads a little bit that way.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah. He doesn't say anything that he hasn't thought through and is well planned out. I also think he's trying to deflect a little bit of the pressure. No, nobody expects us to win. You know, we're that underdog. No, everybody expects you to win.
Correct.
And if you don't win, there's going to be hell to pay. And so, and again, he kind of cracks that door open for some excuses. I wish we were healthy. Well, what I read this morning is they're totally healthy. That Wheeler and Wallace and Fredericks all practiced for the last 3 days. And so, you know, I don't think he can use that as an excuse, but I think there's a lot of pressure, maybe not so much on the players because they'll all be gone next year, or most of them anyway. But I think there's a lot of pressure on Cal and this coaching staff to get something done in this tournament.
So what do you think that looks like then? Because this has kind of been a discussion, and I think it's a good one. What would be the round they have to get to for people to feel good about the end of this season and feel like the job is going to get done next year?
They have to get out of this weekend.
You think Sweet 16 at least for people to feel better
season? I don't think, you know, you talked about everybody expects them to win this game. And because of, of Kansas State being a decent defensive team but not being a great offensive team, those are the kinds of teams that Kentucky has handled. So I think most people expect Kentucky to get out of this weekend. Now I don't know how many people think they can beat Marquette, if that in fact is who comes out of the bottom of that bracket, but No, I think for this not to be another very disappointing season, that they have to get out of this weekend.
Well, if we come back in on Monday and we don't have another game to talk about, how are you going to talk about this season?
Terribly disappointing.
Yeah, okay.
Terribly disappointing. They had a veteran team. They were ranked number four. Now, you know, I know that doesn't mean anything. The team that was ranked number one isn't even in the tournament, North Carolina.
Sure.
But the expectations on this team, I mean, they were a two seed last year, Louis, and didn't lose that much. Right?
Oh, and I think Kaysen's a better point guard than anything they had last year. Oh, for sure. Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah.
And, you know, Bryce Hopkins left and had a great year. But at the time, nobody thought that was a huge loss. Keon Brooks left. Nobody thought that was a huge loss. So if you're a six seed, to me, that's already a disappointment that this team comes out with a six seed. But, you know, given the expectations and given what they had back, I think if they don't come out of this weekend, it's another terribly disappointing year.
I'm interested. Text line, talk to me, 437-9680. Bryce Hopkins, do you feel more? Good for Bryce Hopkins that he left and is having a top five power forward type season, or regret that he didn't stay and put this on as a in the blue and white? Which one is it more for you, that he left and it went well for him, or that you wish he was still on the team? All right, so let's get Cal 2 here. You mentioned during that last little bit there that there were a bunch of bumps in the road. I mentioned some of them, South Carolina, et cetera. So here's him talking about those hurdles.
Someone was asking me about Oscar. He had a knee operation to start the season, was out 4 weeks and really should have been out six, and is starting to come back to where he was. And we've had some others. No excuse. We're Kentucky. You're supposed to win every game by 20. I get it. But what they've been through, we never lost more than two games in a row. So, but what they've been through with a loss and then the onslaught, that they withstood it and stayed together and grew and became a better team. I told them, you're going to remember 2023 the rest of your life, and you're going to be able to say, we can get through this. Yeah, you should have seen 2023.
Okay.
No excuse, but Oscar missed 4 weeks and should have missed six. Well, if he should have missed six in November, then he should have missed six. You know, he can't go both ways. I heard him say that they're going to have a new policy now. If you don't practice for 3 days before a game, you're not going to play. That's a new policy. Well, what's he talking about? Oscar should have missed six.
I
mean, you can't have it both ways, can you, Louie?
If you're Cal, you can.
All
right, you ready to hear the most Cal sound ever?
Yeah.
All right, play it.
I was happy because it was an hour plane flight, because they were talking about us going to Sacramento or somewhere else, even though I'd like to have been around Trey Lyles and De'Aaron Fox and Malik out there where they are, but way far. So I'm happy to be here, and Greensboro's a great town. I hate to tell you, the last time I came to Greensboro, it worked out really well for us, me personally, our program. Why was I here? Bam Adebayo. That's why I was here. Worked out well last time. So hopefully this will be an exciting run, and our team is going to enjoy themselves.
There's another player. I mean, did Bam Adebayo ever make an All-American team?
No.
I mean, Bam Adebayo is another guy who, once he got to the pros, got a whole lot better than when he played at Kentucky.
You're right about
That's the list. That's the list we could talk about. Talk about guys who averaged 12 points at Kentucky and are now averaging 30 in the NBA. Let's talk about that list.
I think if you watched Bam in college and put a tape next to his NBA, I wouldn't recognize him. He is such a different player for the Heat. It's unbelievable, frankly.
Yep.
But to be fair to that transition as well, some guys are just better in the pro spacing and the system and whatever than they are in college for sure. So so it's going to work out for Xavier Wheeler is what I'm saying, Dan. Once he gets to the NBA,
yeah, right.
The floor spacing will just be so much better.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, thank you, Avery. That sound really contributed to the show. Nice job.
You're welcome.
Good job, thumbs. Hey, have you seen, now you told me the other day you don't pay much attention to the commercials, but have you seen Jacob Toppin's AT&T commercial?
I have. How about that?
Who's the guy that comes, that isn't a Kentucky player that comes to the door and says one and done, is it?
I
didn't recognize him.
Are you gagging for his name? Yeah, that's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Yeah, that's SGA.
Oh, that comes to, I got you. Okay.
Yeah, that's the joke.
All right. Yeah. All right. Good for him. That's cool. And he does a good job, too.
By the way, overwhelmingly on the text line, people are happy for Bryce Hopkins. I that's how I feel about it, but I don't root for Kentucky. So, you know, it is, you know.
I read something this morning. And again, if you're a Kentucky fan and don't subscribe to the Herald Leader online, you're missing out on a lot. They only have like six stories this morning
every day
about Kentucky. But the one about Bryce was interesting. I didn't realize he had those injury problems going into last year. He tweaked his back before the season and again during the season. And by the time he was, in his words, by the time he was ready to make a contribution – Cal had already, you know, gotten his eight-man rotation, and he was just the odd man out. But no, I feel the same way. I'm happy for him. I don't think he will, but I hope he wins the Karl Malone Award. That'd be terrific.
Yeah,
for him.
Yeah, it'd be an unbelievable transition for him. So yeah, you're right. All right. Did you get? I put this on a little late. Did you read the 40 article about Virginia?
Yes.
Do you think it's fair?
No.
Okay. I didn't think you would, so I wanted to bring it up. Let me kind of set this up a little bit. Essentially, the top of it says, Virginia's upset loss to Furman further proves 2019 national title was a fluke. Since winning it all, Tony Bennett's team has suffered a series of losses and disappointments. Before everyone texts in, yes, I understand that this is funny because Lachlan McLean used to work here and he went to Virginia. And he used to rub it in our faces that he went to Virginia. I understand. I'm putting all of that to the side. I'm just going to talk about basketball with Dan because that part is funny. You're right, people. It is. It's funny. It's okay. It's funny. Right, Dan? It's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But here's why I have a problem with it.
Go ahead.
What does what Virginia has done since then have to do with them winning a national championship? I mean, would you say that Kentucky's championship in 12 was a fluke because they haven't won an NCAA game in the last 4 years? I don't buy the premise.
Okay.
Now, here's one thing I do. I don't think Coach Bennett's style is probably going to be real successful because to play the way he plays, you have to have shooters, and they don't have shooters. I mean, it's fine.
And in 2019, they did.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they just did.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah. It's fine to make a team play defense for 30 seconds. It's fine to move the basketball and take the shot clock down. But at the end of the shot clock, you have to have somebody that can put the ball in the basket. And they did then, and they don't now. So I don't know how this style of basketball is going to be successful going forward in today's game, but that has nothing to do with them winning the national championship in 19.
Okay. Couple questions. Are two losses to 13 seeds and a trip to the NIT underachieving for Virginia, or is it just Virginia?
Not with the players they had.
Okay. Okay. All right. I'm just asking because I really – I can see both sides of this one. That's why I think it's an interesting article because he's 6-0 in 2019 and 7-8 otherwise. Man, there are a lot of coaches that would love to be 13-8 in the NCAA
Absolutely.
Tournament. Yeah, so
Absolutely.
That part aside, I mean, and of course, the easiest thing to do is to point out the loss to the 16th seed in 2018. But to come back and win the title the next year is absolutely remarkable, and it's commendable too, right? And so that's kind of the other part of this. He also points out that here are his losses, okay? Jim Boeheim, Tom Izzo, and then a 7-seed Florida when they were a 10-seed. Like, those aren't necessarily bad losses. The fact that Tom Izzo can out-scheme you happens to a lot of people, especially in the NCAA tournament. Yeah. His record, he's like two wins for every loss that he has in the tournament. It's a remarkable sort of ratio.
And he's right. Forty's right to point this out. I mean, it's not good.
No, it's not. Right.
But to say that makes their championship year a fluke, I don't get the correlation, Louis.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. All right. Well, this is Issel and Louis. We are leading you up until the NCAA tournament coverage that will be right here and on the other stick on 93.9 as well until 3 o'clock. Our drive time shows will jump back in then. Mixtape over here on First Replay with Sweezy and Streetle later on today. So, Dan, I jumped the gun.
What?
I complimented Thumbs for playing the sound. And she didn't do up, something yesterday.
What'd she screw up there?
So I just got a text from a buddy in Chicago who went to college with me. And he listens to Jay's segment every week because the three of us hung out in college.
Ah, okay.
And the second hour of the show is not podcast.
Did it not go up?
It is not up. I just checked the app. It's not up.
Whose fault is that, Avery? I know it's not yours.
Yeah, Avery Patino. Who is it?
I don't even remember yesterday. So that will be fixed after the show.
Texter, maintaining excellence is the hardest part of college basketball. I think it's the hardest part of college sports in general. I think people, you know, and this is a theme of mine when talking about sports. Everyone assumes things won't go away. Right, that once you hit a spot of excellence. Mm-hmm. I think the most glaring example right now is Clemson football, where they had to get over a huge hurdle. Do you remember we used to refer to it as Clemsoning? They would always fumble the ball away in the worst spot. They'd lose to a bad team. They would do something for years, for a decade when Bowden was coaching there. We talked about that. And then they hire Dabo. They get over the hump. They win a title, right? And now, after his two coordinators have left to be the coaches at Oklahoma and Virginia, respectively, they have to maintain that somehow. And I agree with the texter that maintaining excellence is unbelievably difficult. Michigan State football just went through it. Win the Rose Bowl in 2013, go to the college football playoff a couple years later, and they have done nothing since then. We're under 500 this year.
I'm going to say this, Louie. It's going to get harder with the transfer portal and the NIL. That's why I think this year, and you disagree with this to a certain extent, that's why I think this year is so wide open, is because of those things. I mean, here's a Missouri team. Let's take Missouri for an example.
Sure. It's a good one.
Here's a Missouri team that was awful. They had one player that was decent, Kobe Brown. And in 1 year, because of making great decisions in the transfer portal, you know, here they are. What are they? Seven? No. What Missouri is a seven seed?
Yep.
Yeah.
They're seven
seed.
Correctly, yep.
And they've put themselves in a terrific position now. Well, they didn't. Princeton did. They've got to beat a 15 seed to get to the Sweet 16.
I think Purdue was thinking the same thing when they played St. Peter's last year. I'm just saying, like, I think your point is so correct that actually I don't think you can just assume, hey, they're in a better spot because they're playing at Princeton now.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah.
Maybe so. But it is.
But I understand the point.
No, it's going to get harder to stay on the top of the mountain.
I agree with that. And frankly, that kind of makes it fun.
Yep.
And it's why, by the way, even a couple of years into NIL, and we talked about the other day, Izzo going 25 straight tournaments is not something just to sneeze at. Because that team has, oh, wow. I mean, of the guys who contribute, of the, you know, the 8-9 guys that contribute, 6 are transfers. I mean, you know, it is what it is, right? It's the modern game, and you have to be willing to do it. And that's like why I think you saw Jay Wright check out. I think it's why Coach K checked out. I think it's why you know, they fired Boeheim because he wasn't making the adjustments. And as soon as Boeheim leaves, Notre Dame's best player transfers there. No, it's telling, right? I mean, it absolutely is telling.
Yeah.
So that's a new
age. Well, and it just goes to show Boeheim wasn't doing the recruiting.
No.
The guy that got the job was the guy that was doing the recruiting.
Absolutely correct. All right. On the other end, we're actually going to get into the games tonight. Kentucky and Indiana playing at 11:30. We'll do some picks of the games and of those horse races that we mentioned. And, of course, the first hour of the show brought to you by our friends at Kentucky Tourism and KentuckyTourism.com. Make sure you check out all of their stuff, all of their different pages before you plan anything for this summer or even for this spring. Keeneland is just a couple days away, frankly, at this point.
Yes.
Yep, a couple weeks even. So make sure you get down to the Jeff Ruby Stakes because that's the most important horse race until the Derby. I mean, let's be real. Right, Dan? Find all of it at KentuckyTourism.com.
No, I don't want to step. I mean, you probably are making a gazillion dollars pushing the Jeff Ruby Stakes. So I don't want to step. I don't want to step on anything you got going on, Louie. No, yeah, no. The Jeff Ruby Stakes. That'll be a key.
Do you think it's Do you think it's funny Derby that they spell indicator. Steaks like the meat? Okay, he's laughing.
Yes, I love it.
More St. Patrick's Day talk.
S-T-E-A-K-S.
We do it next.
Metro College is a program that helps students pay for tuition, and I didn't believe it. You have to work third shift 5 days a week. It's a great and rewarding thing when you graduate. I would do it all over again, just like I just did.
You know those buddies who magically become medical professionals when you're not at the top of your game? The ones who say,
"Come on, muscle through it."
But then also say,
"Hey, you should probably see my specialist."
Or surgery or pain meds. It's almost always false, false, and false. Athletico's physical therapists, the same therapists who work with professional athletes, can tackle those little aches and pains from the start, before they become big ones. So next time, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, start with Athletico. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.